Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning in Pakistan.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Weather's fine. Not too hot. No rain. And so it's beautiful over here, alhamdulillah. Pakistan, Zibrabad.
Mashallah. I do.
South Africa.
I didn't intend to make it rhyme, but you know, certain things just happen. Suleiman in Pakistan. Mashallah.
Okay, all right. You're a poet and you don't know it. Okay,
all right. No. What it actually is it's so nice to know that you moved from US to Pakistan and, you know, you found the right place and now you also at the same time still shocked at certain things. So inshallah, things will turn out better than expected, I hope, inshallah.
Inshallah. But nothing, being a reader of the modules for so long, nothing surprises me. But I can't say I've seen it all, because something happens different all the time. But alhamdulillah, very few things can surprise me now.
So this morning, when I just came here, I switched on my laptop and then I received a phone call to say, please check Haaretz newspaper. And so I went on to Haaretz newspaper, the Jewish newspaper, and we saw the good news that IDF and the rest, they give to this ummah. And you know, IDF gives the ummah good news, you may ask. Yes, they do give the ummah good news. They give the ummah good news when they report that their soldiers, their terrorists were slain and were put down. So five of them this morning, last night, throughout the night, the Mujahideen were giving a strong, fierce fight against them. And five put down, 14 seriously injured. And these are according to Jewish newspapers. So we must always consider that the amounts could be much more. I don't know if you've seen, Mufti Sahab, but the trend is constantly with, despite how much damage occurs, they'll always put lightly wounded, not serious, nothing major. Yeah, the Iron Dome was lightly affected, nothing to worry about. The rest, I just wonder that don't the squatters, the Israeli settlers themselves get frustrated and perturbed because they, I mean, so much of damage has been done to their homes. And they come on these websites and say, you know, but there's nothing really been done. It's just the light. There was one or two missiles from Yemen, lightly damaged the rest. Not much killing happening. But won't the people become perturbed to say that you're not giving clear facts?
Well, with every war, the first victim of war is the truth. No one gives the truth during the war, from either side. When it's all the losers, very bad. So the thing was that the Jews control the media, but because of now social media, and now they can't win that fight now. They can win the fight before if word leaked out that the IDF had a loss of some people. They just, no. Everybody came back safely. We had no problem. But now when you can look at, X or some other social media, and you can actually see it live in real time that they suffered losses, now they have to, you know, come up with different answers. And so this is a good thing. The social media in this instance is a good thing in exposing, Israel and America and other governments what they're really doing.
Mufti Sahab, over the weekend, we've seen, and I said I must ask you this question, we've seen ties and relations being strengthened, if you saw it, between whether it was Iran and Turkey or Pakistan and Turkey, Pakistan and Iran. Like this, we've seen Russia also recognizing the Taliban. We spoke about that yesterday, also touched on it. they raised the new flag of the Taliban, meaning the last flag that was there was last in 2021, and that was the old flag. But when Taliban came back into power, they created a new flag, and by the embassy in Moscow, they put up the flag there. Then we've seen also Russia and China having talks, and all of this have been, it just seems to me, Allah knows best at the end of the day, we know fortune tellers, but is there something happening like a World War III? Because we're seeing all these countries all of a sudden strengthening ties. And then we'll speak about it just in a few moments. Saudi Arabia buying THAAD air defense systems. And this is from the US. So we'll speak about that just now. But you can see there on that level that they are strengthening ties there. And here these countries are strengthening ties here. You may know already Netanyahu is currently in the territory of Donald Trump and the US. He reached yesterday and there were talks. I saw the one article now and I was surprised to actually read that they actually mentioning about Palestine independence and what happens if they granted independence. It's like a threat now for them. So I've seen articles as well where people as Hebrew networks admitting that the Mujahideen are no more in defense mode, they are now in attack mode, and you have seen the results this morning. So is there something happening in the Middle East? That's the first question. And could they all of these ties which are being strengthened, especially in these countries, when we spoke about China and Russia, and could it spark a World War III?
It looks like it's going that way. Most wars are because of the banks, right? And the banks are controlled by the Zionists. And so people are just taking sides. Looking at America, how much debt is America in trillions of dollars worth of debt? The economy is failing. Okay? And so they've come up with this new group that's coming out with different currency because they're waiting for the dollar to fall. So people are just picking sides. It's like a WWE Royal Rumble or some kind of wrestling match where everybody tries to partner up and try to attack somebody else. But definitely the Middle East is the place where everything will start. That's what we think. Hazrat Maulana Desai, he's talked about how they destroyed Syria, they destroyed Iraq, okay, meaning America and the Zionists, okay, of Israel. Now they're trying to finish off Gaza. And then after that, they're going to go out to Pakistan. Okay, trying to eliminate any strong Muslim government that has a strong military. Okay, whether they practice the deen or not, they're not concerned about. They want the Muslim countries weak. Okay, so Hazrat said that Pakistan should be on the lookout, as well as Turkey should be on the lookout. To try to eliminate them. There's talk of the Abraham Accords, people joining that. Good news from Pakistan is Pakistan said they would not join the Abraham Accords, they wouldn't join. So that was good. But Israel's talking, they just nominated Trump for Nobel Peace Prize with Israel. Okay? And they feel that he's making peace all over the world, and he's encouraging countries to join the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah, this, from the beginning you've been telling us this, and I think it's been settling over time that although it's hard to believe that American president is not for war, because they hold bases, and you've seen in Iraq, they've got their military base there just by the airport. And everywhere they've got their headquarters in almost most Middle East countries. And they're ready to attack at any time. But I've been now settling with this thought, and what you've shared with us, that Trump is not a war man. So it doesn't mean he's a good man. It just means he's deceptive in other ways. He doesn't have the tactical mindset for war, but he's got the tactical mindset for reducing you financially and bringing you to the ground in that sort of way. So we've seen this morning. The news came out last night, yesterday. Trump has now said 30% tariffs for South Africa and a few other countries. South Africans are stressing a little bit. What's going to happen, this, that. And Trump, you know, he must say something else as well. This is not a threat. The 30% is there. That's a given. 1st of August is when it will come into practice. But also he says, this is the threat now, he says that if you decide to increase your tariffs, then understand well, we'll increase our tariffs further. So we see this business side to him, and this money talks always with him, and the shift away from war. Will there be a ceasefire or not? That we'll have to see in the next few days. But definitely what you said about the Abrahamic Accords, if there is a ceasefire, this will mean now more money will be spent, more time will be spent, more education programs will be given on the Abrahamic Accords and the benefits and the rest for it. So more countries can come on board, and then they can have some time and to, you know, recover from this whole, all these losses and the rest. And then they can perhaps unleash more war. So for this time, it seems like Trump is a suitable man for the U.S., for their agenda, because he's just going to put down the fire a little while. And you know it, Muftisab.
Well, he's just in the front. He's just in the front. But any president of America is not the leader of America. It's the banking. It's the bank, the military industrial complex, they call it. Okay? That's the Federal Reserve, okay, which is a private bank. People think it's a government bank, but it's not. It's a private bank run by Rothschilds, okay? And as well as the other Boeing and these other companies that rely on government contracts in order to survive. Okay, they need to drop bombs. They need to drop bombs so they can make more bombs, all right, which will increase the spending. The American military, they spend more than the next 9 countries combined for military. And who's attacking America? No one's attacking America. Okay, but like you said, they have bases all over. I married a German. And I asked her and her brother, "What, the Germans can't protect Germany? Why are there so many American bases in Germany?" Germans are like the Bataans. They love to fight. World War II was Germany against half of Europe. Why you got so many American bases over there?
Yes.
And why do you have so many mixed race babies from the black soldiers? Okay. So yeah, America reaches everywhere, but again, it's not the president.
Yeah, he's just the puppet.
It's the banking system as well as AIPAC, who really runs the foreign policy of America. The banks and AIPAC, they run. Someone was talking about how is it that the Democrats and the Republicans can't agree on anything, domestic policy, foreign policy, nothing. But when the prime minister of Israel comes over, everybody goes to meet him. Republicans, Democrats are all going in, shaking his hand and taking pictures with him. That's the only thing they agree on. okay, kissing his hand or kissing his feet, you know, like this. So, yeah, it doesn't matter, Trump, Biden, it doesn't matter. What changed with Gaza, with Trump, what changed with Gaza, with Biden? Nothing. It's not the president. It's not the president. All right? It's the bankers and the military that's is saying, oh, we have to attack Iran. Right? They were negotiating with Iran about their nuclear, you know, nuclear capabilities. They were negotiating. Okay, Trump was part of the negotiation, and then all of a sudden they bombed Iran. And so that shows that wasn't from him. He didn't make that decision. All right, but Israel was worried that there might be an agreement here, so we got to do something about that. So they did. They did something, and Trump was in the middle of it. And he doesn't control anything. He's only there to make money. Okay. He's a billionaire and he wants to be, you know, a double billionaire, I guess. I don't know.
Now, here's something that we really need some of your attention and to share with us. What's the reality here? So this morning I checked again and I'm reading this. The U.S. State Department revoked the Foreign Terrorist Organization designation of the Al-Nusra Front Group, also known as Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. This here is the group of that was placed on the Foreign Terrorist Organization list, and this was since 2018. All of a sudden now, they are off the list, HTS they call them. They are off the list, and they are no more there. They are no more, they do not have this terrorist organization list
designation
anymore. And we know the new admin in Syria is led by President Ahmed al-Sharaa, which met with Donald Trump recently. And there was speech and talks about the Abrahamic Accord and the rest. We know for a fact that when a group is placed on this terrorist list, there must be something right that they are doing. Not always. You get certain groups which are doing wrong and they are on that list. For example, ISIS, I'm not sure if they're on that list or not, but just to give you an example. However, if you see Hamas, if they're on that list, you're not going to now look at Hamas to see why they're terrorists. Of course, we understand why they're on that list. Comes here the question, when you're removed from this list, what message is the signaling?
Really nothing. most of these organizations were put up or made by America, okay, to look like they were anti-Islamic, all right? And then once they're able to be put in power, okay, now you take off the designation, but they're still slaves to America. And nothing has changed, really, all right? They were started by America. And yeah, America just gives them that designation. These people are terrorists. Okay, then they get rid of the government in Syria and they put these same terrorists in charge, allegedly terrorists, who change their fatigues to three-piece suits now, and or jogging suits, and make good speeches now in English. And now they're part of Western civilization. And the key thing that the leader said was that we have no fight with Israel. Okay, we will never attack Israel. Once he said that, then, you know, everybody could understand where he's coming from. He's a puppet.
Exactly.
Okay, he's a bootlicker plus Jewish. So putting on the terrorist label, taking off, it means nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. It's the same puppeteer and the same puppet.
In my mind, it's just showing their ties is still getting stronger. So, lastly, we just speak about this here. Saudi Arabia, and for those youth, because our youth here are on holiday. So, we're stressing upon them to use their brains, to use their minds and their ways to understand things that are happening in the world and just not so going into things blindly. So if you see over this weekend, Saudi Arabia has purchased THAAD air defense systems from America. And we spoke about this previously. It's all about the software. So certain, if they want to deactivate certain things, they can do it when they want, when you're purchasing their weapons. So defense systems purchased from the US, what does this tell us? Because this tells, in my mind, this is saying that we have a common enemy, but me and you, for now, we are not enemies. We'll see what the future holds. But for now, you can purchase our weapons and we'll sell it to you as well. And you can install it in your country and you can have some security in your mind, at least, to know that you've got some defense systems and it's purchased by the US. So this gives Saudi peace that we won't be attacked by the US. In a sense that because they're providing us with weapons. And they won't plan to attack them because Saudi's weapons are already here and they can deactivate the software or do as they want, when they want, how they want, because we so become so dependent on them. So Mufti Saab, maybe just share with us for the last few minutes, what's your take on this?
Well, I think it was almost 100 years ago, at least 80 years ago, where Saudi met with I think it was Roosevelt, the president of America, and they came to an agreement that Saudi would continue to sell very cheap oil to America for dollars, okay, in dollar, and you know the dollar is not backed by anything, okay, it's not backed by gold like it was before. All right, so a piece of paper. They're giving it oil away for a piece of paper that's really worthless. With the exchange being that America will provide protection for the Saudi royal family. Okay, so they may be buying weapons now, okay, Saudi. All right, but the purpose is not to defend the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's not for the citizens. It's just to protect the citizens of Saudi Arabia. It's to protect the royal family. This is what it is for. Mm. And this is still America's agreement with Saudi for all these years that if there's any attack against your royal family, we will respond.
Mm.
Meaning America will respond militarily.
Mm.
So if a Saudi citizen or group of citizens want to overthrow the government of Saudi, America is bound by an agreement, handshake agreement, that they will come in and they will protect the royal family. Okay, that's what it's all about. It's not about protecting, Mecca or Medina or something like that. It's protecting Riyadh. Okay?
Yes.
That's about it.
Hmm. That makes sense because you just wonder how are they progressively so going into this direction and it's done with like almost nothing is happening. And all Saudi is saying now is that there won't be any talks on Abrahamic Accord until there's a ceasefire in Gaza. Now, ceasefire, when you mention ceasefire could mean 30 days. We just don't have to, they can say, you know, we agree on a 2 years. That is why Hamas is making it clear that until there's no proper formal conditions in place and you're willing to accept a permanent ceasefire, then we're not going to go on with this ceasefire talks or whatever it is. As the weekend they had talks in Doha and they didn't come to a conclusion. Simply because there's no security on this permanent ceasefire. But I'm just thinking, if they say ceasefire, it can mean 2 weeks. In their mind, they say permanent. But really, when you see their true colors, they'll just start another war and say, you know what, Hamas attacked us again. So we're responding to that. That's how we've seen they've done in so many countries all over the world. To start the war, they have to place, it just goes back to when I was a child and the two groups created a fight between myself and someone else and said, this guy said this, that guy said that. Meantime, none of us said nothing. We just fought for no reason. And then we became best friends after that. But this is what they do. So what you've said makes sense, and we'll see. Allah alone knows best for us now, as you always stress upon the Ummah, is to go back to Salah and change ourselves internally.
Tawakkul. Was it the, has been always talking about the hadith that one Sahabi was shooting a bow and arrow, and the Prophet Sallallahu came to him and asked him, what is this here? So he said, this is a Persian bow and arrow. All right, it shoots further than the Arab bow and arrow, and it's more accurate.
Allah.
Okay, and the Prophet also said, throw it away. Okay, and
yes,
use the Arab bow and do tawakkul. Okay, so we don't need American weapons. Exactly. We should make our own weapons.
Excellent point there.
And it's never been a Muslim battle that the side that had the most weapons, they won the match.
Exactly.
No, it's the one that had the most taqwa, the ones that feared Allah the most. That's the side that won. Okay, so we don't need American weapons, but so Pakistan, they, you know, we're 50-50 here. All right, we have our field marshal is a Hafiz, but yet he's clean shaven. So this is where we're coming from. Okay, we got a little taqwa because we got a Hafiz here, you know, who's leading the army, but yet he's a clean shaven Hafiz. All right, so we make a lot of stuff, but most of the important stuff that we have to protect Pakistan is from China. Okay?
Yeah.
So Saudi chooses America, Pakistan chooses China. So there you go. You're picking sides. All right? Picking sides. The BRICS, all these different countries that's going to have one currency. All right? That China's on that side, huh? Russia's on that side. America's not on that side. Okay? America's on the side of the dollar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're picking sides. They're picking sides. But with us, the solution is simple. Okay? You just taqwa. All right? Throw that bow away. It shoots further, and jihad is fard. Okay? Jihad is wajib. Okay, but yet the Prophet also said, throw that away. Okay, stay with our bow and arrow. Stay with our equipment. Don't use the foreign people's equipment. All right, but do tawakkul. There you are.
Jazakumullah khairan muftisa for that. As the Quran says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَى. Prepare for them of what you can manage, what is possible from your side, from power, what you can produce. So there, Mufti Shafi Sahib says, you don't have to match them in power. You do as you can, and as you've said, tawakkul thereafter. Mufti, I appreciate talking to you. Inshallah, we'll speak to you soon again. Jazakumullah khair. Make dua for us.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.